Okay, good morning everybody, good Chodesh, Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to a fresh month, Yeshiva Chagro. So here we are, we've arrived at Parshas Achrim and Kedoshim. So one of the mitzvahs in this week's Parsha, because of a lot of mitzvahs, one of the mitzvahs is the prohibition against offering korbanos outside of the Beit HaMikdash. We call it Shotei Chutz. It's a law, a negative prohibition, not to shech a korban outside of the prescribed area, outside of the Beit HaMikdash. It's a very serious, this is punishable by korban. So I want to have a look at today at a couple of details related to this mitzvah. So take a close look at the psukim. You'll see that there are two specific iskurim over here. So we read through the psukim, see the first repetitive, and actually explain to us what the repetition is for. In very Kedai, possible Gimel, Ish will basically Israel, Ashi Yisha, one who will shech, sharing a kettle, an animal, a something which is Kodesh, Ramachaneh, meaning, Ashi Yisha, the Chutzamachaneh, all places outside of the Beit HaMikdash, will shech his korban there. Possible Dalad, the Petahol, the Rebbe, and he does not bring it to the Beit HaMikdash, etc. And there's a possible Nichra, so Yisha, who will carry the animal. A few psukim later, somebody from Amitrov who will offer a korban. And he doesn't bring it to the Beit HaMikdash. It's punishable by korban. So these two sets of psukim, just a few psukim away from each other, seem to essentially be saying basically the same thing. One who offers the korban and he offers it outside of the Beit HaMikdash is punishable by korban. So Rashi on Pasuk Ches explains to us what is the repetition coming to tell us over here. So Rashi explains that she yale oilah is zovach, one who offers the oilah or his zevach. So Rashi, this is coming lechayev al hamakter evorim bachul. Excuse me. To oblige one who offers a vorim, makhti really means to, let's say at the moment, to burn. A vorim, half of the korban bakut. Kushoyches bakut, the same as one who shechs bakut. In other words, we'll pay close attention to the psukim. The first set of psukim spoke about somebody who does shechita of a korban outside of the Beit HaMikdash. So that's prohibited, but that only shechita is included in the first psukim. What about somebody who does some other angle of davoida? What about what we call haktorah? Haktorah, the taking of the parts of the korban and burning them on the mizbeah. So that the second set of psukim for the test for the test comes to tell us that it is only shechita. There's an issur of shechita bakut. There's an issur of haktorah bakut, of offering, of burning the korban bakut. To the extent that Rashi finishes off, what would be in Shochat Echo the El Achamir? What about if one person did the Shechita and a second person did the offering? The second person burnt it on the Mizbeah, burnt it as an offering outside of the Beit HaMikdash. One did Shechita, one did Haktorah. So Rashi Shnei Chayovim, that's what we understand from these two sets of psukim, that there's two departments of this Issa. There's Shechita Bakut and there's Haktorah Bakut. Both of them are an Issa, and it's possible to transgress each one of them independently of the others. One person would check Bakut, he would be chayav, the second person would take that same korban and burn it Bakut, he would also be chayav. With this information in mind, I'd like to take a little look at the episode of Eliyahu Anovi Ba'ar HaKarmel. That's just a well say a very famous story. Eliyahu Anovi was a Nabi in Habal. He had this sort of showdown. He said, well, we're going to have a sort of competition with the Nabi Habal. We're going to see each one's going to try and offer a korban, and we'll see what happens. So, what is the story? So the Gemara says about this, something fascinating. Let's have a look. The Gemara in your vomit. The Gemara brings the following pasuk. Toshima said in the pasuk, Elov Tishmol. When the psukim discuss a novi emet and a novi sheker, so the Torah writes the following words: the novi emet, who comes in the name of Hashem, and we have various ways of defining or ways of knowing who is a Novi Emet and who is a Novi Sheker, but once the criteria are fulfilled, and we know with certainty that this person is a Novi Emet, is a true Novi of Hashem, then it's written, Elov Tishmo, to him you should listen. Says the Gemara, an amazing thing, Elov Tishmo, to him you should listen, to the extent, Afilo Oyelachar, even if this Novi tells you, Avoira al Achas Nikol Mitzvah Shemotoyot, if this Novi tells you to transgress a mitzvah of the Torah, to go in Elio Bahar HaKarmel, Hakol Tishol, if you have that type of situation where a Novi tells you as a one off to transgress one of the mitzvahs of the Torah, Shemotoy, and something which is necessary for particular upholding of the religion as a one-off transgression, Shmalda, there's a mitzvah to listen to. So this also has got halakhic boundaries, etc., when and what circumstances, but there is such a concept that a Novi can tell us on a temporary basis as a one-off to transgress one of the mitzvahs of the Torah. Once we are certain that he is a Novi Emet, not that he is a Hashash, he is a Novi Sheker. And the example, as we see that the Gemara gives, is for example, who? For example, Eliyahu on Har HaKarmel. Eliyahu on Har HaKarmel, he told Am Yisrael to do something that was prohibited as a one-off measure in order to uphold the Torah, and we're obliged to listen to him. Sorry?
What was the prohibited thing?
Oh, very good. What was the prohibited thing? What was it that Eliyahu told them to do on Har HaKarmel, which we wouldn't normally be allowed to do? The third Rashi, regarding Eliyahu on Har HaKarmel, Rashi on that Gemara, next line, Shehikri b'bol. Eliyahu HaNavi offers a korban on a bol. He offers a korban on a mizbeach, right? On a mizbeach outside of the Beit HaMikdash. Ushav isra habobois polisot, in a period where bobois, where private altars, were not permitted, were forbidden. And now I'd like to focus on the end of this Rashi. Ve'ik ha-koriz, and this is an isra of koriz, dishchut eichut, of shechting a korban outside of the Beit HaMikdash, so there's koris of shchutehut. The koris, and in addition, there's also koris the ha'alah. There's koris of offering the koris. So there's actually a prohibition of offering a korban outside in two aspects. These two aspects that we just spoke about. Rashi says that it was also shechting a korban outside, and also not only shechting a korban outside, it was also offering up a korban outside, which we normally understand as the burning of a korban. So not only did he shech the korban outside, he also did a second prohibition, so to speak. He also offered the korban outside. Then we'll just summarize again. So Rashi says there that the prohibition was he shechted the korban outside. Not only did he shech it outside, he also offered it outside. Now what I'd like to focus on a little more, a fascinating point over here, that what was this story with Eliyahu HaNavi on Har HaKarmel? Put the psuk in here, I don't read all of them, but the story was, what did Eliyahu HaNavi do? He told each of them to build a mizbeach. He says, well, you Nevi'e HaBaal, you build a mizbeach to the Baal. Now I'll build a mizbeach to have built for Hashem. Well, each one of us will bring our korban. We'll put our korban on the mizbeach, and we won't put any fire. The ish loy otim. I will not put fire. I'm not going to put any fire. We'll just put the korban on the mizbeach. We won't put fire. And then we'll each one of us will be with Baal. You pray to the Baal. I'll down to Hashem. And whoever sends fire, they're the true one. Very famous story. And we know. The Nevi'e HaBaal. That's what they did. And they prayed and they called their Baal, etc., etc. Nothing happened. And then you know, I'm after that. After you've proven that the Baal wasn't going to answer. So then Eliyahu HaNavi shechted his korban, he put it on the mizbeach, he davened to Hashem, and Hashem sent fire on Hashem. Now, in the light of what Rashi told us, that Eliyahu HaNavi transgressed the, so to speak, he temporarily waived two parts of the prohibition. A, he shechted the korban bakutz, shchutei kutz, and B, he offered the korban bakutz. Now, practically, what would we consider a prohibition of offering a korban bakutz? If I have erected some sort of altar outside of the Beit HaMikdash, I shech the korban, so that's shechting a bakutz. And what would now be transgressed? The prohibition of offering bakut, haktorah bakut, or ha'aloh bakut. We would imagine, surely, if I burn it on that mizbeach, that is the haktorah bakut. So that's the prohibition. If I burn it on the mizbeach, it's haktorah bakut. What if I don't burn it on the mizbeach? I just place it on the mizbeach, and somebody else puts the leish. I don't put the leish. I just put it on the mizbeach, and somebody else puts the leish. Could it be that just placing something on the mizbeach in the hope that somebody else is going to bring an leish is already a prohibition of haktorah bakut? I would imagine the choir of the certain first thought would not be that way. The fascist would be surely that the prohibition of haktorah bakut is not just to place it on the mizbeach and hope that somebody is going to put leish, but to actually burn it on the mizbeach. That would be the prohibition of haktorah bakut.
Question.
Yeah.
One, when someone wants to
go to a drug,
doesn't complete
Yes and Daniel,
wouldn't we say
it doesn't? Well, it depends in what sense, but see, if two people do something together, right? Could be a distinction here. There's some cases where two people do something together. Let's say on Shabbos they carry something very heavy outside, and neither of them is able to do it on their own. So then, you're right, they're actually both high. But if one person does half and the other person does half, let's say one does a kilo and one does another, then they're not high because nobody's done anything. So that's the chiddush over here. Yoa Novi, Rashi told us that Yoa Novi transgresses both parts of the prohibition. He does shita bakut and haktorah bakut. So the chiddush over here is, one can question, is it really called haktorah bakut then? And Yoa Novi put it on the wing there, he didn't put an ish. They never are down to Shabbat, they should send an ish. They didn't put an ish. So that's called haktorah bakut, it's called that Yoa Novi waived the prohibition of haktorah bakut, that's the kasha.
The issue is, the one prohibition, so
we're arguing
two potentially?
The question is just on Rashi, who explains on that tomorrow, where the Gemara says that if you are not being transgressed a prohibition, Rashi says that he transgressed two prohibitions, Shutikus and Halom.
Couldn't we also say that this is part of the same package?
Okay. Yeah, we don't really care about whether we call it two, we call it A and B of the same prohibition, let it be. But the point is, not so much issue with really two completely separate things or two parts of the same prohibition. But the point is, we're asking a question on the Rashi, but Rashi does describe the transgress Shechita outside and Ha'aloh outside.
I thought we were arguing about the Gemara that said that in a week you can spend one thing.
No, I'm not getting involved with this.
No,
he can tell you one thing, he can tell you again the second thing. We're just questioning what actually was the prohibition in those circumstances in that story. But then you have our account on what indeed was the prohibition. Was it just for the chutz? Rashi tells us it was also haktorah bakut. So this question is asked by the oracle Mary the Bobbit, the woman is inside of the machine. So let's just share two sort of approaches to this thing. One is, based on the episode in Parshas Shmini. In Parshas Shmini we have a similar scenario where on a special occasion an eish is sent to Minas Shamayim. In Parshas Shmini we had the inauguration of the Mishkan, where they offered various korbanos. They didn't put a fire, and a fire was sent to Minas Shamayim. Now in the original description of the offering of those korbanos, it says that they were placed on the mizbeach. If you look down the line, it tells us that Hashem sent an eish to Minas Shamayim. But if we'll pay close attention to the wording of those psukim, it doesn't just tell us that the korbanos were placed on the mizbeach. It actually uses the word vayakter al hamizbeach. Haktorah, which normally means the burning of the korban, vayakter al hamizbeach. He burnt it on the mizbeach. Then if you look down, it says that the eish came in Hashemayim and burnt up those things. So what do you mean Vayatir al Mizbeach. He burnt it on the Mizbeach. He didn't burn it on the Mizbeach. He placed it on the Mizbeach. And Hashem said to Mayim and Hashemayim. So that word, Vayatir, one of the things on the sheet here, the Rashbam, one of the Meforshim al-Afir, one of the Rishonim, explains the word Vayatir, says, you know what it means, Vayatir? Some of it's not on the Mizbeach. Actually, it means he places it on the Mizbeach before Eish Shomayo Nikhtar. And when Hashem set the fire, then it was burnt. But nevertheless, we see that this action of placing it on the Mizbeach, and Hashem sends the fire after that, is also referred to with the word Vayatir. It's referred to as a type of burning, as a type of offering. The Torah actually calls it Vayatir. Placing something on the Mizbeach, when Hashem is going to send the fire, is also included in Torah of a Korban. So in fact, yes, indeed, yes, we do find that placing on the Mizbeach, and Hashem is going to send the fire, that's also called Haftarah, and one could also transgress the prohibition in this fashion. That's one possible approach. On the second side of the sheet, I've put a second approach, where there is discussion in this episode of Eliyahu HaNavi Ba'arah Karma. There is discussion whether Eliyahu HaNavi decided to do this all himself. This was his own idea, it came from him. Or, perhaps differently, many of Rishonim say differently, that it wasn't that way. It was an actual command in Hashemayim. The first prophet commanded him to do this. And in fact, after they cut, that the wording of the Pesukim over there is that Eliyahu HaNavi, after the episode, uses the word Kidvorcha of Tisi. With your command, by your word, I have done all this. And Rashi over there says, Kidvorcha of Tisi, by your word, I have done, says Rashi, that which I offered Bakut. I put it here, the Tosfos in Sanhedrin makes this clear as well. Top of the second side, the Kroi Mashma in the Pesukim in it implies Shal Piha Dibur Otto, that it was a command from a Kodesh Baruch. The Chsiv Be Eliyahu, it says about Eliyahu HaNavi, Ukidvorcha Otisi, by your command I did. Upirish Rashi Mo'or HaGoyo Upirishu Le'Nabiyim, and Rashi in the Novi says, Ukidvorcha Otisi, by your word I did. Shekrati Bishal Isur HaBoy, that which I offered outside at a time when private sins were prohibited. Okay, having said that, that it was actually a command in Hashemayim to offer a korban, because Baruch Hu commanded him to offer a korban. Based on this, the Sefer Mekor Baruch wants to suggest a different approach to this question. If it was an offering which was commanded in Hashemayim, and Hashemayim Baruch Hu commands us with a korban, there are specific halachic parameters that have to be fulfilled. There are parts of the avodah that have to be done. Every korban has got various stages which halakhically have to be fulfilled. That is what a korban is. There's shechita, there's kabbalah hadam, there's zrika, there's haktarah. All these parts and aspects of the avodah of the korban have to be fulfilled. Now we know that the Gemara tells us about the avodah in the Beit HaMikdash, that even if there is an ish in Hashemayim, even if HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends an ish, mitzvah lahavi min ha'edit. It is a mitzvah that is incumbent upon us to bring our own ish as well. So even if there's already an ish there in Hashemayim, you've got to bring your own ish. Like in the Beit HaMikdash itself. So exactly so says the Makor Baruch, this korban that you are loving wasn't just some, his decision that he's going to put this animal there just to show Am Yisrael that everything that Hashem is true. It was an actual korban that Hashem was mitzvah. As such, Eliyahu HaNavi surely was obliged to do all the stages that are incumbent upon us to do whenever we offer a korban: shechita, kabbalah, zrika, and hatzar. So, even if the Prophet doesn't mention it, it's understood me'elav, it is to be understood that after Kodesh Baruch Hu sends the Eish in Hashemayim in order to make that great Kiddush Hashem that everybody will see, that great Kiddush Hashem and Chalila, not the other desire, but once the Kiddush Hashemayim has been done, then Eliyahu HaNavi was also obliged to bring Eish in Ahem, to bring his own Eish, to do his own Haktar. And in that sense, Rashi says that there was also a Torah Bakut. Indeed, just placing something on the Mizbeah without putting any ish, and an ish comes from Hashemai, that wouldn't be a prohibition of Torah Bakut. But the prohibition was that which, after the ish from Hashemai, he brought his own ish. Although it's not mentioned in the Pesukim, but that's how he wants to understand the episodes, and indeed he also brought his own ish, and because of that, it's also considered Torah Bakut. According to this understanding,